This is Jean McMillan. Today's date is April 19th, I think, 2019. This is file number 8, cycle 3. I am interviewing Kayla Bell Johnson. She is town hall assessor, and we're going to talk about her job and the things that she does and the things that she really knows a lot about. But first, we'll start with, what is your name?
Kayla Bell Johnson.
And what is your educational background?
I went to grade school and high school here in Salisbury, and I went to Northwestern Community College to study graphic design, and then I went through all the state courses to become a certified assessor.
When did you come to the town hall?
I started here in 2006, helping every office. I started with the assessor in 2014, and I became certified in 2016.
When you were working with the tax collector, who was the tax collector at that time?
Denise Rice was the collector at the time.
And who is the tax collector now?
Jean Bell.
Any relation?
A little bit. She's my mother.
Okay. When you came into the assessor's office to help, who was the assessor at that time?
Barbara Biggis.
And when did she retire?
She retired in 2015.
And that's when you took over?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I'm going to ask you about your training for the assessor's job. When you came into this office, were you trained by Barbara?
Yes.
And what did she have you do?
A little bit of everything.
Which is
nice, because then you know what's going on. In mm-hmm. a small town, you do everything. We discover, list, and value anything that's taxable. So here it's motor vehicles, personal property, and real estate.
Okay. And when did you start taking courses?
I started my first one in 2013. Took a little bit of a break because they only offer them once a year in June at the University of Connecticut in Storrs.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's a hike.
Yep. So every once in a while they'll do what they call a road show where they'll do a class in like New Britain, for example, but still it's not a great option.
Not for us.
No. So I took ones when they were convenient and available to me.
Okay. Now, you have on your door posted that you are a CCMA number one.
Mm-hmm.
What do those initials stand for?
Connecticut Certified Municipal Assessor 1, and there's also a CCMA 2, which the slight difference is that's geared more towards the city where you do a lot of commercial appraisal and things like that, which are wonderful but don't necessarily pertain to a small town like Salisbury.
Are you planning to take that course?
Someday I will.
Just for my own benefit,
mm-hmm. exactly. I don't really intend to ever work in a city.
Good
Hopefully,
girl.
Yes.
Good girl.
Not my speed.
Well, you know where your strengths lie.
Yes. Yep. I like that I know almost everybody in town, or at least their home or their parcel, and it's
And it makes a difference because you're local, doesn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Yep. Yeah, I don't have to look up on a map to go find a property or inspect it because I've been on the road many times.
Now, you said that there are three things that you value.
Mm-hmm.
And they are?
Real estate, motor vehicle, and personal property.
All right. We're going to start with real estate,
mm-hmm.
and we'll go through each
sure.
one. How do you value real estate?
We do what's called mass appraisal. So that is when we evaluate everything in the town in one shot. We do a revaluation every 5 years, which is by the Connecticut law, and we use as local as we can, comparable sales to determine the value in a certain market.
Do you work with realtors?
Yep, very often.
But you've got some special background.
I am a realtor also, yes.
So that makes...
It makes a big difference.
It does.
Yep.
It does. Now, when you're doing motor vehicles, that's a different field.
Mm-hmm.
What are your sources of information on that?
We get two lists a year. One we call the regular list is what was registered in the state on October 1st, which is also the big date for us. Everything we do is as of October 1st. That list comes from DMV to us. There's also a supplemental list that comes in January of the following year for anything registered after October 1st that didn't make it to that regular list. Most vehicles come through priced. DMV doesn't price them, but they use the NADA guides to price them for us.
What's that? NADA?
NADA, yep. It's like Kelley Blue Book or a similar type of guide that the state has chosen we use.
But yours is brown and yellow.
Yes. Yep, exactly. It's not blue.
Okay.
And then any vehicles that come through unpriced or any specialty vehicles, we use those books to price
and
them.
And what would you call a specialty vehicle?
An antique car, an antique motorcycle, maybe a truck with just a flatbed, or we don't know what type of bed is on it, motorhome, things like that, that aren't your normal Subaru Outback.
All right. But you said that you don't do something that's an off-road vehicle.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't.
I did pay attention.
Yep, you did.
All right. How do you value personal property? And what is personal property?
Yep. Personal property is a tax on basically anything you use to conduct business in town, whether it's a local landscaper or LeBond's grocery store or just a small home office, anything that you use to have that business run is taxable. So each year we send out what we call personal property declaration.
Personal
property declaration.
Okay.
And it's a form that the state sends us where the business owner has the opportunity to declare their assets.
Okay.
And then we use the value to come up with an assessment for them.
Alrighty. Do you outsource any of this work?
No.
Why not?
I like to know what's going on and be able to help everybody that comes in with a question, and if I've done the prep work and followed the process through, it's easier to answer their questions.
And if somebody has a problem, they should come to you first.
Yes.
To get it sorted.
Yep.
And if they don't get it sorted, what is their other option?
Yep, so I would prefer they come to me first just because then I can talk to them, maybe explain something they're not quite understanding or didn't know about. I'm always happy to go out and look at a property to re-measure or check the bedrooms, see if we missed something or if something we didn't know about is there. And if they don't come to a resolution through me, we have what we call the Board of Assessment Appeals, which is a board that is elected, and they meet twice a year. They meet once in March to hear any appeals on motor vehicle, personal property, and real estate, and then they meet again in September just for motor vehicle.
All right. Now, because you are a certified assessor, you can sign the grand list.
Yes.
And you already told me this, but when is a reevaluation due?
Our next one is in 2020. We did our last one in 2015.
Okay. And why do you do a reevaluation?
To bring all the values up to current market trends. That way everybody's paying their fair share in taxes. People aren't overvalued or undervalued anymore.
Okay. And the three things that you value, real estate, motor vehicles, and personal property, they go on the grand list.
They do.
All right.
Yep. There's also tax-exempt properties and other exemptions added in there.
I'll get to that one.
Okay.
All right. Tell me what a mill rate is.
A mill rate is a value that's determined to see how much everybody should pay in tax, so everybody's paying their fair share, so that we can balance the budget.
Ah, balancing the budget. Yes. Okay. Where do we rank in the state?
We are currently the lowest mill rate in the state.
And why are we so low?
I want to say we're lucky in a sense. we have very high property values for real estate. We also have a very low municipal factor. We don't have many town roads. Many of our roads are state or private, so they're less costly to maintain. We have a small and valuable school system, so that's helpful. We don't have any municipal paid departments, fire, police, ambulance, they're all volunteer. So all of those things can keep our budget low, which then can keep our mill rate low.
And we run an efficient budget.
Very much so.
When do you present the grand list to the finance board?
Well, it's supposed to be signed every year by January 31st by state statute. You can ask for an extension, which gets you an additional month. But if you sign it on or before January 31st, you give them your preliminary values shortly thereafter. And then before May 1st, we give them our final list, which is after the Board of Assessment Appeal has met and made any changes.
Okay. Now, there are some reductions and exemptions.
Mm-hmm.
And what would give me an example of a couple of those.
Yep, so there could be a tax-exempt organization, such as like the Salisbury Association or the ambulance. They're tax-exempt.
Mm-hmm.
The schools, Salisbury School, Hotchkiss School. There's also exemptions if you are disabled, blind, or a veteran, which are great to apply.
Oh, yeah.
And then we also have programs that assist elderly and or low-income disabled people in town.
Alrighty. What's the difference between a drive-by appraisal and a physical appraisal?
Well, we do both. We try to get into every property as often as we can, but driving by, we survey the neighborhood, see what the building looks like. We get out and walk around if we need to. A full assessment is when we actually can get in the property and see what may or may not have changed, count bedrooms and bathrooms, take note of any renovations or improvements. With the homeowner there to show us through.
We're both smiling because you know what's coming next.
Uh-huh.
You're doing a physical with me.
Yep.
In 220. All righty. The building card. Why do you have a building card?
They're helpful because they show any and all information pertaining to a property.
But some of the properties in town were built before 1820.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 1820 that's about your beginning date.
Ish, yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, what do you have on the first side of the building card?
Okay, so the first side explains who owns the property, current owner, mailing address, contact information, when they purchased it, and for how much. It gives reference information as to where you can see the deed or any maps on files. It also tracks building permits and visit history for when myself or someone has gone up to look at the property.
Okay.
And it also breaks down the land on the front, so how many acres you have, what zone you're in.
Okay, the land is out separate from the buildings.
Yep.
Okay, and what's on the second side, backside?
The backside is the building, so it gives a sketch of the property to show the dimensions and the story heights. It also kind of grades your home or building as the term paper would, so it says if it's an A, B, or C, if it's a what style construction, bedrooms, bathrooms, things like that. It also goes over any additional features, so a fireplace, an outbuilding, a pool, any of those fun things that people like to have.
And is there also a section for notes?
Yes. Yep, if we've made a change or there's something to note, obviously an easement, a right-of-way, there's a section on the front where we can talk about that.
Now, in a piece of property, you said that there were grades for the building.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of grades do you have for the building?
It ranges. There's obviously your normal A, B, C, plus or minus, but we go as far up to a quadruple A plus.
Ooh!
And
what would that be?
That would be a very, very, very nice estate quality property.
Okay.
Of any type. It could be a ranch, a colonial, a contemporary. And then we go down to triple E, which is
like
pretty
Bogalay?
Bad. Yes.
Yep. Okay. Okay. What would be a triple E?
Ooh, that we don't
really
have,
bad.
We don't have many, but yeah, it would be a
really derelict piece of property.
Very much so. That's been forgotten and overgrown.
No, we don't have many of those.
Mm-mm. Nope.
We maintain curb appeal.
Yes, yes. That's one of the many benefits to being here in town.
Okay. Do you like your job?
I do. I didn't think I would in the beginning. It seemed very overwhelming when I started.
Well, you do a lot behind the scenes.
Yes. Yep, very much so. But now that I know it and understand it and can process it, I enjoy it very much.
Did it help that you had some hands-on experience with Barbara before you took the classes?
Yes. Yep, because I knew what to expect going into the classes. I could separate what they were teaching me from how I'd already applied it in the office, and it also helped before I started with her. I worked in the town clerk's office. I'm also a certified town clerk.
Oh, you are a certified town
yes.
clerk?
Yes. Yep. I took those classes while I was taking assessor classes, but they're not as long, and they offer more throughout the year, so it was easier to go through that process.
But it's nice to have two strings to your bow.
Yes. Yep.
It truly is.
Very much so. So I had read deeds, I had processed maps before coming mm-hmm. in here, and it mm-hmm. all flows together nicely, so it's very helpful.
Good. Good. Then you intend to stay?
Yes.
At least past 220.
Very much so. Yeah, I would prefer to say my entire career. That's one thing that led me to pursuing the certification is because I really like working here in town. I like my coworkers. I like this small town.
It's a nice place to work.
Yes.
I've interviewed several people on site, and they all work together. They always have worked together, mm-hmm. and they continue to help one another
yes.
out.
Yes, yep.
Which is a nice atmosphere to
Very
work
much
in.
So, yeah. I don't ever dread coming to work, which I know many people of do. My friends and, yes, people in general do dread going to work, so I'm thankful that I don't have that feeling.
Is there anything that you'd like to add before we close?
You've done a very good job summarizing and coming up with questions, but, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.